And every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. We're broadcasting from New Zealand in the Fukushima South Pacific, the shining jewel, the Cayman Islands, island chain. It's beautiful because we have a Prime Minister that used to work for the Federal Reserve Bank for 2 years in charge of the European bond and derivatives trade, and then got elected in 2008 for a blue political party on a platform of change, and then got the country into more debt than every single Prime Minister, leader of our country, ever did, combined. Does that sound familiar, Americans? I think it sounds familiar. maybe I'm wrong here. Maybe I'm just making connections that don't exist. But anyway, we try to make jokes about this because, you know, life's pretty harsh. And sometimes you've got to have a laugh just to realize, you know, what you're still fighting for, you know? So I come up with really crappy jokes. Like, for example, what was it?
Hey, how do Spanish musicians catch fish? They cast a net.
That was really terrible, Vinny.
Well, you know, my jokes are of two strains. Either A1, you will cackle in the first instance, or you will groan and then cackle privately later on.
Beautiful.
Laugh with me or at me. As long as you're laughing, it helps to produce endorphins.
Yes.
Which are radioprotective to a small degree.
And interestingly, I'm delivering that via radio.
There you are, and we're protected.
Now, speaking of the kind of protection that we might need, what is it that people need to be conscious about Fukushima? You were mentioning over the break a kitty litter or something like that.
Oh, this is a wonderful story. If you are a fan of world-destroying stupidity, this would be number one on your hit parade. The WIPP underground storage facility near Carlsbad, New Mexico. Carlsbad is famous for its caves. That facility has been used as the United States' only deep underground storage facility for its high-level nuclear waste from Los Alamos Nuclear Facility, which is touted, at least, as one of the world's great nuclear research and death-dealing factories in the world. It's really quite renowned. Well, the Carlsbad Caverns were selected as a great place to store this high-level nuclear waste, very rich in plutonium, which will be radioactive for the next 4.5 billion years. Million, that's with an M, before one half-life has gone on. Multiply that by 8 for the amount of time it will take until it's relatively safe to be around. So it's pretty dangerous for a pretty long time. We're talking about a very, very radioactive area filled with hundreds and hundreds of casks, very, very well-constructed, secure, in explosion and fireproof casks of plutonium from the nuclear manufacturing process at Los Alamos. Well, you have to keep plutonium dry. You wouldn't want it to get wet for a whole variety of reasons that would make you unhappy should your plutonium get wet. One of those is fire. Nuclear fire is a bad thing. And another one is explosions. So they decided to keep the geniuses at Los Alamos, decided to keep the casks dry, to keep the plutonium in them dry with, I kid you not, kitty litter. And they stuffed kitty litter into the casks when they were filling them with highly, highly, highly radioactive plutonium. Nobody thought to test whether kitty litter was sort of an appropriate material. They said, well, sure it is. You know, it absorbs moisture. That's what it does. And so they stuffed kitty litter into the barrels, and they buried them. And they had very, very elaborate forklifts and moving systems and protective gear and yada, yada in the world's most advanced underground high-level radioactive waste storage facility. And the casks are now exploding and burning because the geniuses figure the kitty litter doesn't withstand high-level radiation real well. Kind of breaks down, changes, transmutes, and becomes explosive. And so that's what you have. You have these casks specially made to withstand fire and explosion, exploding and spewing. No one knows how much. Now, no one knows how many of these casks are going to follow suit and explode, like this one, like the first ones have done. Nobody knows, because they sort of didn't test the system. They just assumed that kitty litter was one of those magic things that you could rely on forever for the safety of the world.
Well, now we can rely on it forever, but not for the world's safety.
Yes, exactly. Precisely.
Maybe for depopulation safety.
It's like, man, you were half right. You were half right. Okay, give the man some credit where it's due.
Exactly. So no one is talking much about this, certainly not in the United States, probably not anywhere. It's as if there were a blackout. My goodness, would you expect that the media might be controlled by the nuclear mafia? Nah, never thought of that. And the danger, according to one official who asked not to be identified, right, he has to keep his job, the danger is so incalculable that they have no way of estimating how much damage it could do if these casks keep burning and exploding, which is what they expect for it to do. It could take about 50 years, he said, for them to come up with a solution.
Well, how about that?
Well, you know, what kind of solution are they going to propose? I mean, I heard this crazy story coming out of Fukushima. I think the great, brilliant idea was to wait for it. That's right. Put a giant polystyrene dome over it.
Well, they also, at Fukushima, are putting a great big ice wall. They're going to lower the temperature of the land around one of the reactors, just one of the reactors, to 30 degrees below zero Celsius. And the frozen water will keep the groundwater from seeping in, except for the fact that that's kind of not where the groundwater is seeping in, and the fact that this will make the area so much heavier that the Fukushima facility, which is already sinking into the aquifer below it, which is where the groundwater is coming from, the Fukushima facility will sink even faster, making the groundwater even more contaminated, and contaminating, by the way, even more heavily the water that Tokyo drinks, speaking of the Tokyo Olympics, by the way. So their solution was approved 1 year ago this past week. And then this week, the Japanese Atomic Energy Commission said, wait a minute, hang on, that won't work. And it's going to make things a lot worse. So although you have now spent $285 million on beginning construction on this thing, which has never been done before, by the way, this is totally experimental, we have just withdrawn our approval. We don't think this is a good idea. Don't do that. That was this week's comedy show at Fukushima.
Well, it's almost like, it's Alice in Wonderland all over again, isn't it?
except that I think the end result is not going to be very Wonderland.
Well, I think it would be more like a little bit off with their heads.
I was going to say, in Alice in Wonderland, they cut off one person's head at a time. This is a bit more mechanized.
Yeah. It's more efficient, really.
It really is, yes.
Yeah. Well, who's the Queen of Hearts in this debacle, then?
Ah, who is the Queen of Hearts?
Well, that's very interesting, because just you go back to the depopulation thing that we were talking about earlier. Let's assume that the 90% goes, the useless eaters go, and the 10% remain. Fukushima continues. The radiation levels continue to rise, go up, 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 up. So how does the 10% have any chance of surviving in a in an atmosphere that is totally poisonous in terms of the nuclear radiation? Well, that's very interesting because I don't know whether you know this, Vinny, but there are deep underground cities all over the United States.
Well, all over the world, actually.
Well, and they have been built for a long time. They
a lot of them are like connected as well with these high-speed Mach 2 trains or something like that.
Right, that's right. And so now the question is, why are the underground cities there, all connected by the high-speed trains, and you don't build a city in 2 days? These cities have been under construction for a long, long time. Okay?
Let me give you a proposal, if I may.
Well, wait a minute. I got to ask the question first. And the question is, why? What did these people know way back when? Because you don't build, again, you don't build a city in 2 days. To have built all of these cities, connected them with high-speed trains for a real purpose, what is that purpose? Why are they there? What did they know? Oh, did they know about Fukushima 10 years ago?
Well, they've been building them for a lot longer than 10 years.
Or 20 years.
Or maybe a catch-all contingency plan. Maybe they had all bunch of plans. Any of them could have gone wrong in a number of different ways. There could have been uprisings or something like that. And they need a place to escape to permanently where they could never be reached, either by disease, radiation, or the people they're trying to kill them with.
Well, my supposition is that they would escape to the underground cities if everything went right for them. Not if everything went wrong. They are prepared to live a very, very long time, very, very separate from any connection with
might
the surface.
Might I make an observation? The people that would be coming into these cities would probably be the elite, right? So they'd be the most ruthless criminals, murderers, pedophiles, rapists, etc., that the world has ever known in the thousands of years of human debauchery and scumbaggery. And they want to lock themselves together underground in the dark with these people forever. have you ever, you know, I mean, it's like, it reminds me of this story of the, what was it? There was some ancient fable about this book in Rome that supposedly told the future. And the emperor at the time was so obsessed with finding this book, he sacrificed thousands of men trying to look for it, and they finally found it. And they opened it, and in its pages it revealed that Rome was going to suffer a terrible plague, that all their grain would go rotten and that they would starve. So the emperor took measures to prevent this. He gathered all the grain around Rome and had it under guard 24 hours in this giant granary. And what they didn't do is keep it under guard by people who knew how to keep grain properly, and it started to go moldy.
They put kitty litter in the plutonium casks, and it exploded and destroyed the world.
See, so sometimes the very measures by which we take to prevent a terrible future are, in fact, the very causation of the terrible future.
You got it.
Well, yes, and there are many stories that indicate that the thing that you do to prevent the thing that you fear is in fact the thing that precipitates the very dreaded event. Absolutely. This is an ancient archetypal wisdom, yeah. If you will.
Oh, we're going to create GMOs because we're afraid of starving to death. Really, what do GMOs do? Oh, they make you all go sterile and die of extinction? Oh, okay.
You got it.
And we can patent it.
You got it. And we'll make a lot of money while we're doing it.
But it'll kill Africa first. So these people,
there's an old, if I might say so, there's an old jazz piano thing, and what was it, Dr. something, I forget his name, Louisiana blues pianist from way back in the day. What was it, sorry, Clint Eastwood was interviewing him and telling him about this this last couple of lines of this one song that stuck with him his entire life, and it says, if you get you some money, you'll spend it as fast as you can. I said, if you get you some money, go spend it as fast as you can. You can't take none of it with you. I ain't seen a funeral followed by an Auburn van yet.
Well, I believe...
That's great.
I believe now, and I have no hard evidence for this, Vinny, but I do believe that their intention was to quite literally destroy the planet's life capacity until they chose to put it back together again. And of course, this is completely insane.
Obviously, these idiots were not taught Humpty Dumpty in the nursery.
Precisely. And that is the cause of all our troubles today, the lack of Humpty Dumpty-tude.
Now, does that mean that because of a lack of Humpty Dumptitude that we're in for a time of moral turpitude?
I think we have come to a time of moral turpitude with certitude.
It certainly wouldn't hurt a tude.
Mm. But let's try to keep it away from being a little bit rude. I was going to say as well, Rima, because both of you seem to have... shall we say, aged a lot better than I have, and you've lived a lot more years than I have. Well, I seem to be getting worse as time goes on.
It's a lot more time to age gracefully compared to you. You're just beginning to decay.
See, you guys are turning into wine. I feel like I'm just skipping the whole drunken process and just going straight for the vinaigrette. In fact, do you know what you call a salad dressing that makes you feel bad about yourself?
What do you call salad dressing that makes you feel bad about yourself?
A
vinegar
regret.
Good. Bueno.
You need to lay off them cheap cigars, Vinny.
Yeah. I would like to also talk about the other elements of the depopulation agenda, namely the chemtrail one. I just had an article posted on my timeline by Occupy Corporatism, the wonderful Suzanne Poser, a mutual acquaintance. UCLA, quote, use alumina in atmosphere to reduce climate change, in the top US world news today.
To reduce what?
to reduce climate change. So UCLA has come out and they say we want to start spraying the atmosphere with aluminium particulates from aircraft in order to reduce the effect that solar radiation is having on the planet. Now, yep, now I bet a major university telling people to spray the atmosphere with aluminium chemtrails still doesn't count as quote-unquote evidence to the average, in quotation marks, science-loving chemtrail deniers, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Well, what happens when you breathe one piece of that aluminum that comes down from the chemtrails? You put it in your body. What do you think is going to happen to your body, Vinny?
A little bit. Well, I don't know, because I would presume the Alzheimer's I'd get from it would be so bad that I wouldn't forget that I would forget what it did to my body.
You might.
Maybe.
But anybody who was doing enough heavy metal detoxification would remember. So you're safe. Somebody out there knows. And we have to remember that aluminum is not only pro-inflammatory for the brain and for the heart and for the lungs and the kidneys and so on. And aluminum not only depresses the immune system, but aluminum is synergistically toxic by a factor of about 1,000 with fluoride. And so the fluoridated water and the aluminum act together so that each one is between 1,000 and 2,000 times more toxic than the same dose would be alone. But there's a little bit more, and that is that aluminum is such a good pro-oxidant that it causes things to catch on fire, like forests, for instance, that would not actually catch on fire at this under the same conditions without the pro-incendiary aluminum impact. So that's really wonderful. What we're doing is heating up the globe and not preventing global warming. We're heating up the globe and, oh, by the way, we're making it more flammable and we're making the soil, of course, less fertile, and we're making you less fertile, and we're making you more stupid so that you don't know that you're less fertile. And oh, by the way, if that's not enough, we'll inject it into you too.
On top of that, I believe, I think it might have been Dan Wigington that was telling me that the aluminum and the barium and the strontium and these other particulates that they've currently been spraying also have a detrimental effect on ozone-atom connections. So it's actually depleting the ozone layer, allowing even more radiation and heat to come through, which basically it makes the temperature fluctuate much more because the ozone normally stops a bulk of that heat and also stops a lot of the variation that happens within the atmosphere, and that's what gives us a stable climate. So in order to protect us from solar radiation, they're breaking up the thing, that the very thing that actually protects us from massive temperature fluctuations because of solar radiation.
Dane was, once again, I love Dane. Dane was my guest last Thursday on the Dr. Rima Truth Reports. And one of the things that Dane has said for a very long time, and I hope everybody knows his website and goes there regularly. It's called geoengineeringwatch.org. Very important website. Dane Wigington is telling it the way it really, really is. Clearly, calmly, and with absolute certainty and gravity, that this is cataclysmic unless we stop it. Which is why, by the way, we have another action item, tinyurl.com/stopgeoengineering. Dane was saying that if we stop it now, not next week, but now, we have a chance, not a certainty, but a chance that the planet might recover. The only way it's going to stop now is if enough people raise their voices and become absolutely audible to the powers that be. I don't care why you're doing this. I don't care that the program has run away with itself and you don't know what to do. I don't care that your intention is depopulation or isn't. The fact is you must stop destroying the capacity of the planet to support life now. And you must stop all of the geoengineering practices, which are not limited to spraying crap in the sky, spraying synthetic DNA in the sky, spraying self-assembling nanobots from the sky, spraying aluminum, barium, strontium, thorium, radioactive elements like uranium. That's not the only thing that's geoengineering this planet, which is why Bert was talking about neo-geoengineering. You want to talk a little about that, Bert?
I'm not sure at this stage of the game.
Well, the way at this point, the game might be over soon, so I say, let it rip, son.
What we're talking about is the growing of GMO crops, for instance, which do not sequester carbon the way non-GMO crops do, and therefore geoengineer. The nuclear reactors, which God knows are geoengineering and bioengineering, the actual spraying itself, these large-scale programs that are designed for death.
Well, the one thing is for sure that the chemtrails are not designed for your health. I'll tell you that. I mean, you look at the crisscross pattern of these things in the sky, you watch them spread out, then you understand that all of the things that they're spraying and are putting on you, that you're breathing or eating the food that's grown in the soil that gets all of this stuff from the air. When you think about the aluminum and the strontium and the radiation levels of things that are there, when you know that it only takes one single atom of cesium-137 in your body and you're dead, you know, or plutonium or cobalt, it doesn't make any difference. You get one atom of this radioactive materials in your body, and your body is out of luck. And
the mayor of Fubata, Fukushima Daiichi, sits in two towns. One of them is called Fubata. And the mayor of Fubata is a very unusual fellow. He's telling the truth. He's saying our children are dying. We are dying. The radiation levels are killing us. Please, please help us. And other city council and mayoral-type people are beginning to speak out in Japan. And they're not even talking about the radiation that's coming down from the chemtrails. They're not talking about the metals and the synthetic biology. So it doesn't matter which part of the converging cataclysm you look at. The fact is that it's all deforming the Earth and killing us, and it all has to stop. Kivini, can I give the action item again?
One last time, and then we're going to go to break.
All right. It's Bert, why don't you do it?
Well, the action item is tinyurl.com/stopgeoengineering. So you really need to pay attention. And let me give you an example of what's happening in Fukushima. In the end of December of 2013, there were only 17 children in Fukushima that had thyroid cancer. In March of 2014, okay, just 3 months, there were 50 children with thyroid. That's three times what had happened, and that's three times in just 3 months. Now, by the way, there were 43 other children that had thyroid lumps. They hadn't even diagnosed what the lumps were at this stage of the game.
Well, they refused to diagnose them.
Yeah. So here, I mean, here is a perfect example of what happens with when you have radiation. And if you go to Miami, Florida, the radiation levels there have been at 400 nanosieverts and
for over
a year. It's been over 400, and no one there is even thinking about what the dangers and damage is being done by the radiation in Miami that has come from Fukushima
and from Turkey Point nuclear reactor. You need to know that the internationally agreed upon evacuation level
is 300,
and Miami's been at
over 400.
More than a year.
Yeah, I recall when Fukushima first happened, this wave of radioactive stuff started setting off all the alarms and everything on the California coastline. So then I think the U.S. government said, you know what, let's just raise the level of available radiation, you know, to the kind of levels that we really need. You know, this is actually healthy. This is good. And it's like 10 times the normal rate and tripled the amount stillborn and all of this kind of stuff. A month following Fukushima, it's just absolutely crazy. Unfortunately, we do have to go to a break right now, ladies and gentlemen.
And then they stop reporting.
Yeah. First, they make it much higher levels than you can have, and then the levels go even higher than that, and then they just stop reporting them altogether.
They stop reporting, that's right.
Yeah.
Don't talk.
Yeah. New Zealand's got a similar thing. We stopped testing for radioactive particles in our seawater and imports like halfway through last year or something like that when they just started to get real bad. So, yeah, it's about right. Everybody manages these crises in much the same way. It's probably because they're trying to manage the crises instead of solving them. You'll listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on the vinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question in Eastwood, as in go ahead, make my news. You can check out the book sponsors that we have, the crowdfunding revolution by Kevin Lawton and Dan Marum, and The Range of Illusion, A Province is Normal by B. Holmes. Also check out our other sponsors, Blue Shield, to protect yourself from a little bit of EMF radiation. Probably won't protect you from cesium-130, but hey, you try, you do what you can. And then also the other sponsors, Volcania Coffee, that's going to be supporting both myself and the People's Voice in the UK by giving us the profits from that company to support our fight against the global scumbaggery syndicate that would make it impossible for anybody to have an independently running business in an ethical way once the New World Order take over commerce globally with their trade deals and so on and so forth and global government. Plus, check out the High Tea Cafe, wonderful place, on Portage Road in New Lynn. You can click on the banner at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. We'll go straight to their Facebook page. They'll tell you when they are open. And also, if you're in Australia, or even if you just really want to get yourself on some dang fine soap, go to the Gourmet Soap Kitchen little banner there on thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and wagga wagga and get yourself some of that stuff, especially the cinnamon and cinnamon and oat soap. I love that stuff. It's very invigorating. We'll be right back. Gentlemen, with retired General Bert Stubblebein and Dr. Raymer Labo. It's quite a prestigious thing, you know, you can just put up on Facebook, by the way, I'm interviewing a former general today. And, you know, I'm sure you get that a lot.
I love it.
Okay, so, final segment, and we may be coming into the final days of the human race. However, there's an old saying, and I think it's held true mostly for my life. It says, one door closes, a window opens. I always believe in the brighter side, you know, like hope, faith, etc., whatever it is. Hold on to something.
Incidentally, I agree with you totally. We cannot give up. We cannot even look like we're giving up, Vinny. In order to solve this, we have to be of positive mind, positive intentionality, and we must take the various actions that allow us to go the course and do the thing that needs to be done to help the entire world.
May I make a slightly different point?
Maybe.
Thank you. I think hope is silly.
I didn't say anything about hope.
I think hope is a weak word, and I think hope is next door to the New Age passivity that we were talking about. The fact of the matter is that we have all the power. They have the appearance of power. This is a true Wizard of Oz situation. They claim levels of power that are supposed to intimidate us. In fact, every, and I mean every single time that our voices become audible to these global scumbags, they back off. They step back. They do come back again. They will find another way to try to make their will assert itself. But when our voices are raised in sufficient number, then we, in fact, control what they do. And we can force them back from their plans, and we can, in fact, seize what is rightfully ours, which is control of the situation. So I don't think we can hope that a window opens. I think that we have the key to the window, and it's called a computer mouse. And that computer mouse is so powerful that, indeed, they want to take the computer system, the Internet, away from us because we've used it too well for their liking. We've used it too effectively. We've forced them to come into the light of day, which, like the rotten, corrupt mushrooms they are, they cannot tolerate. And so we have the power, and we've demonstrated it. We've demonstrated it in the United States when we stopped the already approved and funded mandated swine flu program by the volume of our voices, 3.5 million emails to every decision maker involved in that heinous decision in 11 days, 3.5 million emails to each of them, and they backed off. Here in Chile, where General Burt and I are living in order to provide clean, low-radiation food to the North American continent, we found out that they were just about to turn turn Chile into an agricultural twin of the United States, and we said no. And again, the magic number seemed to be 3.5 million Chileans. That's a lot more percentage of Chileans than it is of the United States. But 3.5 million Chilean emails, and two governments dropped Monsanto's wet dream for Chile. They'll be back. But that's real power, Vinny, the power that you have to make information available, the power that we have to make information available, rests solely in the power of the people to make their will known. If you do that, we win. If you don't do that, you will be depopulated, you will be enslaved, and you will die.
And it's due in no small part to the specific contributions of people who have leadership characteristics and the ability to organize others into strong, basically fighting units in a information/protesting/advocacy sense of the word. And I agree, Rima, those who trust to hope only for hope in and of itself are basically delusional and think that they don't have any power. My interpretation of hope is much like that of the reason why they gave a hobbit the ring of power to put into a Mount Doom. For a lack of choice and a lack of options, not really much hope, just a fool's hope and the willingness to die in order to back it up.
Exactly. Now, we don't have to die if these bastards can be controlled, and it's up to us to control them because nobody else is going to. It's easy to say, well, you know, it's all too big for my little head. Well, then your little head is going to be quite a dead head.
Well, and she's right. Actually, you're both right, because hope is a very weak word. The key to all of this is exactly what she said, and from a military perspective, it's called a principle of war. The principle of war is called mass. We need masses of people who are all saying no. They don't need a weapon except their mouth. And their mouth has got to say, don't you dare. No, no, no. Enough people do that, they'll go away or back off. They're not going to go away, but they certainly will back off. And we've seen it happen over and over and over again every time we've needed an action where we needed the people to support an action and essentially telling the system what to do.
Now, I have a bit of a crazy mind, because when you said people can use their mouth as a weapon, I thought every single time somebody shakes a politician's hand, they try to bite off one of his fingers. That'll make people not want to be the Prime Minister very long.
Try signing a
executive order with no fingers, bitch.
Is that really the part that he's using? I'm a physician, and it seems to me that that would be a very, very irresponsible thing to advise, because you'd be...
I'm not advising. I was just joking, because I thought it would be funny.
You'd be poisoning the people who bit the fingers, because the politicians are so damn toxic.
I mean, you know, sometimes you've got to swallow the poison with the antidote, you know.
I love it.
And the message to the politician would be, now it's time to feed the hand that bites you.
I mean, hey, and the politicians wouldn't be able to continue giving you the finger.
No, that's right.
You know, you've got to disable your enemy's weapons, yo.
That's correct.
The pen is mightier than the sword. And it's just like in Starship Troopers. Sir, I don't understand. Who needs a knife in a nuke fight anyway? Ceasefire. Put your hand on that wall, trooper. Put your hand on that wall! He walks over to him very slowly. Oh, God, yeah. The enemy cannot push your button if you disable his hand. Whoosh! Ow! Medic!
I love it.
So, okay. Yeah, there we go. A bit of joke, comic relief, and relief of having digits as well. Hey, and in fact, speaking of digits, somebody was telling me before, I don't know what your guys' opinion is of Anonymous, but this guy told me that if Anonymous was totally real... And I don't like it when people start off with this, you know, they start off with logic instead of their grammar. He said, if Anonymous was real, why wouldn't they just drain all the bank accounts of the elite? You know, just hack in, empty all their bank accounts to nothing, then they'd have nothing left, right? Yeah. I thought, well, what an interesting point.
If Anonymous was real and they were taking orders from me, is what this guy was saying.
Yeah.
Because this is how I would do it. Well, maybe Anonymous has another way to do it. And to the extent that Anonymous has proved a threat, God love them. I think it's great.
I absolutely believe so, too. I mean, we've had Anonymous help us out. Just because, like, I had this dude, Pete Santilli, who was, like, stole my name, Guerrilla Media, turned it into Guerrilla Media Network. A whole debacle. There's plenty of info on it online, but... without us even asking, Pete Santilli threatened Anonymous, said, hack me, go right ahead. And they did. And they leaked a document that he sent to the FBI when we were exposing him for derailing the trucker's ride for the Constitution, when he seized control of it, took over their Facebook page that had 200 plus thousand likes, and then renamed it Guerrilla Media Network under him.
Wow.
Yeah. And he sent a letter to the FBI complaining about me and Suzanne Posel exposing him. And he says, if I'm exposed, I'll expose you, you know, and I'll tell my story, my version of the events. He's like threatening the Department of Justice. And they're just going to... It's like, this guy can't be that bright, bro.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Wow.
That's quite a story.
Yeah, and Anonymous approached us. I mean, afterwards, it was like Pete alleges we approached him. We hadn't even known that he was hacked until like a couple of days after it happened, when people were directing us to this, and they go, oh my God, this guy fracked over Vinnie Eastwood real bad. Maybe we could send him this info and see what he can do with it. And boy, did we do a lot with it. Yeah, about half the people that hear about Pete Santilli now thinks he's corrupt. About a third of them don't know, and about maybe 17% of the knuckle draggers and mouth breathers out there that listen to talk radio and think that their truth is still believe every word that comes out of a psychopathic mouth.
So you've actually helped him get more followers, huh? 17% seems like a high number.
Yeah, I mean, it may have done. But, you know, everybody has a niche market. This is what capitalism is all about.
Capitalism has redefined itself
It's become corruptalism.
Yes.
I think you're right.
Like,
unfortunately.
Yeah, it's what happens whenever somebody comes up with a really great idea. There's always other people who use those same words that sound like a really good idea, but package you something completely different in the box that you open up, and you don't even know what's in the box until you get it, have removed all of its restraints, and suddenly it's in your home and you can't get it out.
Sustainability in the hands of the globalists, which means we sustain my aristocracy and your slavery. That's sustainability. We sustain what I want and we
eliminate you.
We
eliminate the competition.
And we control your life, every single aspect of it, a la Aldous Huxley. And you're supposed to say thank you.
Yeah, be grateful for us for enslaving you. In fact, it was just Queen's birthday weekend. Queen's, we get like a Monday off or something. It was just yesterday, and I thought to myself, hey, I know a great way to celebrate this. It's like looking up images of the Queen. Ah, here's a nice one with the Queen waving and smiling very nicely and royally and what have you. And it's like a little caption underneath: happy Queen's birthday weekend, slaves.
Slaves.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It got quite a few shares among my fellow parolees of the global plantation.
Parolees, I love it.
You know, we're free range.
Free range, exactly, for the moment. So where is New Zealand on the Agenda 21 story?
We have the three most highest polling political parties being the National Party, with its Prime Minister, who used to work for the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, the Labour Party, whose representative was educated at Harvard and attends Agenda 21 conferences at the Ritz Hotel in Washington or Mumbai. I forget which ones. He's part of Parliamentarians International, which you have to have both be elected into a quote-unquote democratically elected party and pay by credit card in order to be part of it, and you do these conferences all over the world, and he's a member of that. And then the next party down the line is the Green Party, which has a co-leader, Matiria Ture, and Russell Norman, who's from Australia and is a doctor. And the Green Party, in their environmental policy, say our environmental policy is Agenda 21. It's based on Agenda 21. And if you look at the wording and sentences, phrases, general plans of Agenda 21 that the Greens outline, and then you take it like a transparent slide, you know, when you got those overhead projectors and you put a slide over another and they suddenly match up perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
That means that the three highest polling parties in this country, 45%, 35%, and 14%, the remainder is all like minor parties and everything, all have pretty much word for word Agenda 21 policy as their environment policy.
Well, you're safe then.
Wow.
So it means whoever wins, we lose.
Wow.
And so
that's scary.
How much awareness is there in New Zealand about the reality of Agenda 21?
The awareness is growing, as it always is, because of voices like myself. In fact, there were a number of people in protesting these housing community redevelopments where they were basically kicking out retired veterans and superannuants who had their own kind of community with beach views and everything like that and state housing. And they said to them all, hey, we're going to upgrade all these homes and everything. And they're like, oh, cool, that sounds great, an upgrade, right? And what they meant by upgrade was, we're going to cut your homes off of the foundation, sell them off to somewhere down the country, the actual houses themselves, and then sell the land on to Chinese investors, which we're going to bring around by the van load. And the people who are protesting this this quote unquote redevelopment, I went out to see them and record their and document their findings of all of this, and I told them about Agenda 21. And the next time I saw the ladies who I met there that time was at another protest, and they were telling the crowd about Agenda 21 and how dangerous it is and how much they so. whatever I said to them, they decided to go do their research, and they found that I wasn't incorrect, that precisely what's happening to them is exactly the kind of Agenda 21 resettlement, privatisation, controlled suburbs agenda there.
Excellent.
It might be a drop in the bucket, but I'll tell you what, man, you have a bucket sitting there that keeps having drips into it every now and again, that puppy will overflow and spill all over everything.
You're
well,
right.
That is the nature of the battle that we're waging. And that bucket has to have drops and has to overflow. It's the only way that these processes will be controlled. The only way. There is no other way.
Well, I'm never of the mind to say there's only one way to do everything, because I think of it like, as I was mentioning before, about how everything's the opposite of what we're told by official sources that it is. I see a lot of people from officialdom not realizing just how many different agendas there are out here. So there's not one way to enslave people. There's a million ways to enslave people.
And no, therefore, but there's one way to be free at this point, and that is to refuse to be enslaved.
Indeed. But as I was saying, there's a million ways to refuse to be enslaved. You can stop buying the GMO products. You can start protesting about chemtrails. You can start dogging your politicians with cameras. You can start a guard. You can stop vaccinating people. You can tell people information that they don't want to hear, that will spit on your face just because of it, just because you're trying to save their life. But you must do it, because we don't have a choice. The only one way that I probably believe exists is to not do nothing.
Yes. Forgive me. What I meant to say was we have no choice but to act, and to act by spreading information and truth and making sure that other people hear us. As you said, even if they're willing to spit on your face, that sounds like the experience of many people with family gatherings and social environments and so on, where people don't want to hear, just as Bert didn't want to hear. I mean, when I was telling Bert early on in our relationship what I knew to be factual, and he couldn't hear it, he wasn't being so nice about not wanting to hear it, you can imagine. Please, you're making my entire world shake. This is not a nice feeling. Stop it. I don't want to hear it. Stop talking about this.
This reminds me of the scene from Fight Club where he grabs his hand and he kisses it and he goes, what is this? And he goes, this is a chemical burn. And he pours lye onto his hand and it reacts with the saliva on it and starts to eat away his flesh. He starts screaming and trying to get away. And he's trying to tell him something through pain, trauma-based mind control. And I think this is the reason why we wake up, is because it's traumatic, not because it's nice and fluffy. This is what the New Age want. They want a nice and fluffy awakening. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if your awakening's nice and fluffy, you haven't awakened to shit. Okay? If it has to be traumatic, otherwise it doesn't mean anything to you. All the things that have taught you the most powerful lessons in your life, all the things that you will never forget, are the most painful things in your life, and that is why they are so valuable. That is why they nexus themselves into your thought processes. That is why when you're deceived badly and ripped over sharply by some description of scumbag, you don't forget it, because your mind tells you that this is a threat and you need to respond to it. That is the awakening that we're trying to facilitate for you, ladies and gentlemen. It will not be nice. Don't expect to love us or thank us for it. The truth is not freedom. The truth is a burden. It is an obligation. And it is one that everybody must take inherently seriously. I may joke about it and what have you, but nonetheless, I take it far more seriously than the vast majority of people on this planet will ever take it.
And you're back to mass. The principle of war, numbers count. So voices, all of the voices, need to speak up, need to speak out, need to get the message, not just to their politician, but to all of their friends and their friends and their friends' friends' friends, so that everybody is talking the same language and taking the same action and calling the same representatives or the senators or whatever they are, the government agents, and telling them, no. We're not going to do it your way. we're going to do it a much better way, which is safer, cleaner, and better for us all in the long run.
You know, you heard me mention three different action items. One of the things that happens to people when they start to get involved is they become involved, they take an action, they spread information, and they think they're done. They think that there's one issue, there's one item, there's one struggle, and they're finished, not realizing that
the
globalists are coming at us with unbelievable numbers of assaults, and we have to be ready to fight with unbelievable numbers of responses. It's not one issue. It's not just radiation. It's not just chemtrails. It's not just
GMO
release or GMOs or the need to refuse vaccination. It's all of them. It's a series of intentionally created converging cataclysms, and either we're ready for them or we're not. And if we're not, it's not going to go well for us.
But we all need to stand up together, not one, not twosies, but together, because together we can handle the problem, we can find a solution, and we can go that direction. And excuse me, but screw the rest of them.
And you need not be a great orator, thinker, philosopher, radio show host, or human thesaurus to say the word no, ladies and gentlemen. It's quite simple.
Oh,
it's only
right.
One syllable. And every language has a version of it.
You got that right.
And if you're advanced, if you've gone to the next stage in your protest education, then there's another phrase. You've mastered no, and then it's don't you dare.
Well, I would say it's still actually just a two-letter word, but it's F-O, and it stands for something else.
That works very, very well.
In not like so it. Many words. You know. Thank you very much. Dr. Rima Lewa from the Dr. Rima Truth Report and former General Bert Stubblebine for joining me today for a full two-hour episode. It's been fantastic, great, and I hope to have you guys back on the show again soon.
Thank you so much for having us, Vinny. It is always a pleasure speaking with you and being amused and stirred and educated.
And getting the message out to the right people to take the right action to get the whole system fixed so that we're not Agenda 21. We're our own selves operating as we should. Thank you very, very much, Vinny.
Oh, you're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, it may be very difficult to fix things, but I can assure you it's a hell of a lot more valuable, even though it's harder than destroying them. You're listening to The Vinny Eastwood Show at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Bear in mind, this is a listener-supported broadcast, so if you go to the homepage and you see the PayPal buttons and the Kiwi Bank account, if you happen to be in New Zealand at the time and you want to support your local truth radio station, it's me, basically. So good. Yeah.
I love it.
Not to toot my own trumpet about it, but I'm the only one with a freaking trumpet in this country, yo. who does the radio and the videos anyway? Everybody else does blogs and authors' books and what have you. And I bring them on the show so that they too can be on video and radio. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we can all work together to expose this scumbaggery, just as long as we don't... Well, what was it that Snoop Dogg said? That comes from the heart. Don't let it go to your head, brother. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Have a very, very nice life. Hope you don't get exterminated in the meantime.